When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming to you from New York City, bringing the video podcast for global Filipinos around the world. Watch and listen as we speak and get to know different celebrities, icons, influencers, and inspiring people. Join Jesse Dang and Jay Cass as they talk about anything and everything while bridging the gap between Filipinos of different generations and genres of choice. This is Over a Glass or Two.
May hangover pa po kami ngayon. Kumusta po kayong lahat? Kumusta ka, J-Cast? Bakit si J-Cast, ano naman? Blurry naman, pixelated, what's going on? Nakikita mo direct, okay ba? Oo nga, ba't ganun, no? So anyways, kumusta po kayong lahat? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening po sa lahat ng mga nanonood sa buong Pilipinas, sa buong mundo, especially po sa mga taga-TFC subscribers of Filipino channel. I Want TFC, of course. Of course, ang FYE channel in Kumu, Facebook, YouTube, and mga pasahero ng Jeepney TV sa buong Pilipinas. J-Cas, ikaw naman, go!
Yes, tama ka dyan. Kahit po kami ay hilo-hilo pa ngayong morning night. Good morning night po. Galing dito po sa Brooklyn. Good morning night po sa lahat mga Filipinos and non-Filipinos. In different time zones, in different dimensions, in different continents, in different galaxies, in this whole wide universe.
First!
Ayan, papagising po yan. Para sa amin, hindi
grabe,
po para sa inyo.
Sa amin. Grabe, no? Kasi nga na-miss natin si... We have a friend actually, a couple of our Bear friends, di ba Bear talaga, from, they live in New York City and then they move to California and then nagbakasyon dito. So na-miss namin sila. So talagang from, it's been 2 weeks na we've always hanging out with them. And now, last night nandito sila sa bahay until 4:30 a.m. nag-party kami. And now, we're kind of have like, you know, like tipsy ng konti. Pero it's okay. It's so worth it, no? Sarap ng mag-party, party, party. And speaking of party, ang aming guest ngayon, excited ako. School. Ang daming... Ano to eh, talagang Pinoy proud. Tapos, kaka-party ko rin to lagi. Kami ni Rachel at ni Direk Rachel Alejandro. Sayang, Jay, kasi hindi mo pa nakaka-namimeet to in person eh.
At makikita ko na siya in person, finally.
Sa, diba? Oo, sa Halloween party, yes. Excited po kaming ipakilala sa inyo and marami kayong matututunan. Especially yung mga Phil-Ams and not non-Phil-Ams na gustong, you know, who wants to venture into the film industry, di ba? So, marami po kayong matututunan. So, tune in po, di ba? Nawala si J-Cas. Nasan si J-Cas? J-Cas, magbayad kasi ng ano eh, ng internet joke. Hindi, nagbabayad pero dapat paanuhin. Ang tawag dito, pa mag-add, you have to add more. Ano ba nangyari kay J-Cas? Nawala. Ayan si J-Cas. I love your headband, J-Cas. Nawawala si J-Cas. Bakit, Direk? Ha? Huh? Okay na. J-Cas, can you hear us? J-Cas?
Ayan, naririnig mo ba ako?
Oo nga eh. Ay, hindi tayo naririnig.
Yung connection natin, yung connection ko dito sa Brooklyn, merong ano. May hangover din. Ano ba
may
yan?
Hangover
can you hear
din?
And see me now?
Yes, yes, yes. Loud and clear, Roger. So anyways, ayan. I-introduce ko na po ang ating special guest for this more night. Ayan. Our special guest for this more night is a force to be reckoned with in film, television, and stage production, both in the U.S. and Asia. Born in San Francisco, live a couple of years in Manila, and raised in New York City. She has been an actress since the age of 2, with her first walk-in role with her mom, veteran actress Lorelei Villanueva, in Lino Broca's Maynila sa Kuko ng Liwanag. She's now running Sitting Cat production with several films released, including Sam, S-A-M, no? Kasi capital eh, S-A-M, directed by Nicholas Brooks. She also serves as the executive director and head of programming of Soho International Film Festival, which is it just happened like September, like last month lang. Yan. Let's get to know better the Filipino-American boss lady that we'll surely be proud of. Guys, please welcome Miss Sibyl Santiago. Kumusta, sis?
Okay lang. My God, that intro is so awesome. You guys have so much energy. I love it.
I know. Lagi naman ganito eh. Parang pag lagi tayong gumigimik yan. Kasi po, friend na po talaga namin, a good friend of ours, isa Sibyl Santiago. Talagang, I'm so glad that, you know, like God made sure that our path will cross again after meeting you 15 years ago, I think, or
no,
10,
has it been that long? No.
Wait, like 10 years ago?
Kayo, years ago?
What, 10 years ago? 12 years ago?
Has it? Hindi naman siguro. I don't know. See, I don't know. You know, I
think
hate to say
10
it,
years.
But since the pandemic, medyo parang blurry yung timeline.
Yes, I think
that's
it
like
was
3 years. In between, you know, these 3 years that kind of semi-existed
yes.
in or not no. existed in our lives.
Okay,
but
I think 10 yeah, years ago, because you met my son, yeah. we bought our son when he was like a year and a half. So he's 12
long?
Now. Yeah, it's been that long.
Holy cannoli, that is
yes. Sige, we'll discuss about it. Diba ang galing ng Diyos, no? Imagine mo, na-meet lang kita sa isang guesting, like,
yeah,
diba? Makalala TV.
Together.
And
it was
now,
you, me, and my mom.
And
you know,
your mom. Just, and yeah. then, nag-click lang tayo, we started talking, yep. and then after so many years, biglang, boom, di ba? Our path have crossed again.
Naman, which is nice,
exactly.
because I always, every now and then I'll see you be like, oh, Jesse's doing this and doing that. It's kind of cool. I love watching, like, you know, awesome, amazing films like doing their thing. So it's
I
really
know, cool. no? Naka, okay, bago daw tayo mag-start mag-chikahan, sabi ni Direk, huy, mag-hi muna si Sibyl sa buong mundo na nanonood, especially sa mga TFC subscribers. Go ahead, Sibyl.
Sige, hi. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. I said, ano yung sabi ni, ano, good more night?
More night. Good more night. Yes,
more
yes,
night.
Yes, yes.
I love that word. Okay, I'm going to adapt that. I'm going to steal that.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm so excited to be here. And hello to everyone. I hope that, you know, we can talk about something fun and interesting for you guys to listen to.
Definitely.
Sana naman, it'd be nice, yeah.
Oo nga eh. Madami kaming matututunan. Ako, I've learned so much eh. Whenever, like, Sibyl and I, we hang out with Rachel, no? Kasi, trio kami niyan. Kami ni Rachel
kaya,
and Sibyl.
Kaya
Rachel
nga naingit ako kasi I always hear about Sibyl and I see you in pictures, pero hindi nagkakatugma na I could join you guys. But finally, I will be able to see you personally, diba? Of
and
all,
it's really so much fun.
Of all times pa Halloween, diba?
Halloween party. Baka hindi mo siya ma-recognize kasi iba na. Yung hair niya parang Rapunzel,
eh.
Ganon.
malakas yung powers ko pa sa ganyan pag bilog ang buwan at saka pag madidilim na elemento na
magkukulam siya in short.
Parang ganyan.
Ang galing naman, I love it.
I know, no. So anyways, sige si Bill,
paki-share ng energy na yon na Jay.
Yes. Like Sibyl, do you have anything to drink? O ano ka, may iniinom ka, girl?
Cheers.
Ayan. Ayan, kasi meron kaming protocol dito eh. Tapos mami will have a photo op. Ayan. So anyways, we have to welcome you sa sangbayan ng Pilipinas po at sa aming dearest USA. Guys, let's all welcome Miss Sibyl Santiago. Welcome to Over a Glass or Two.
Cheers, guys.
Ayan. Dapat daw nag-cheers as we have to look at, diba? So ating mga mata nagtitinginan. Otherwise, bad sex, diba?
Yeah, kaya nga eh.
Ano ka ba? Ayoko. Wala nga akong ganun eh. Tapos bad pa.
I know. Ay, pag-uusapan natin yan over like medyo, a dozen ano po, of bottles.
Mga kaibigan, medyo dry po sa desierto ngayon. Ang huli ko pa po ay April pa.
Ay, of what year?
Why, this year naman.
Ah, this year. Akala ko naman.
Oo.
Akala ko naman, ano 2019 pa. Okay, go.
Oo. Ano siya, matured na puti na may sarili siyang salon dyan sa city.
Oh my God, kulito talaga.
At saka, ang grabe. At saka si Bill, ang laki-laki talaga. Grabe, ang laki. Ang laki na flat, ang kalaki na flat iron na ginagamit niya sa salon niya.
Ah, flat iron naman pala. So anyways,
akala ko laki ng apartment.
Ng apartment.
Ay, malaki rin yung apartment niya. He won it in a New York lotto. Yung lottery. Ang swerte niya. Lottery na apartment. Yeah, he won.
Yeah, that is a thing in New York. You know what's so funny? I just recently, I won a lottery for one of those that I applied to back when I was like, you know, in my single years and my younger years as an actor. Like, I applied for one of those things and I recently, like maybe the last 3 years, heard from them. And I applied like maybe 20 years ago.
Pwede pala yun? Wait lang. Before, ito naman si Direk, nag-i-interrupt joke. So anyways, before natin pag-usapan yan, so meron kaming ano rito, screenshot, ano, photo op. Yeah.
Oh, picture muna pala tayo.
Okay, go.
We will forget.
Yes, we will forget. Okay, go. 1, 2, 3. Ayan. Wait. Ano yun? What do you mean? Like, merong lottery talaga?
I think may mga developments in New York. You know, I used to, my day job when I was acting, you know, my starting out days, I had to have a day job. Kasi diba, when you're passionate about the artist side, unfortunately, it doesn't always pay. So you have to have a day job. So my day job was real estate. And that's when I found out about this, that there's a lot of developments in New York City that's partly owned by the city and partly, you know, owned by developers. So they're required to have a certain percentage of that building for quote unquote low income, right? So if it's like someone that makes like a certain, like, I don't know, I think 60 or 40 and below kind of thing, then you're qualified for like 20% of that building. It could be like the fanciest luxury building, but the only way the city would give them the permit to build it is if they agree that 20% of the building, they call it 80-20, the 20% goes to people with, you know, the lower income range, so that it's like, you know, housing equality, right? So yeah, what happens is it's a small percentage and, you know, a lot of, they make it a lottery. So you apply for it. And then when it comes available, of course, people who live in those never leave. They don't ever want to leave.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I will not.
Then they come up. So, yeah. Kaya lottery.
So parang, ano, parang you're living in like a luxury place. Tapos, they didn't know that.
Pero, tutuusin, hindi mo naman talaga afford yung tunay na price niya. Pero you'll give
until
it a percentage.
They still do that? They still do that? Until
Yeah. Because
it's a privilege of New York.
Exactly. It's a privilege of New York. And you're right, JCAS. And it's really a great program, really. Because then, at least fair, you know, it's like fair housing. They call it fair housing here. Kaya lang, syempre, it's also not as many available. But, you know, when it's there, you got to just, like, jump on it and be on top of it. Like, I have a friend who has, like, a gorgeous two-bedroom spread, like, in like, almost my Fifth Avenue with a gorgeous view of the park. It just so happens that's a building that was 80-20, and he got it, so he's never going to leave, I think.
But wait,
you know?
So 100% of the luxury buildings there, so they offer that 80-20?
No, not all. No, not all.
Oh,
it's certain
okay.
properties. Yeah. So certain developers are given, basically the city encourages them that if they do that, then they'll get more, I don't know, tax breaks, things that they give benefits from the city if they do the 20%. So the city makes it enticing for developers that when they build, like, for example, the next like 100-foot or 100-floor, you know, residential property, they'll allow them to do like, you know, to build at a certain location if they allow at least 20% of it, you know, for people that, especially people who lived in the area, who's been, like, they have an artist program, actually, for, like, artists, you know, like, up-and-coming artists, like, if you need to go into the lottery program, and they do it for handicap, or, like, you know, senior and stuff, senior housing, so it's, yeah. So there's some lot of properties here in the Upper East Side that has, like, that's like that. So if you're lucky enough to get in one of those, you don't ever want to leave, because...
Oh, I will never, ever leave. I'm like, whatever, you can drag me.
Ang talino ni Sibyl. I can
oh,
I can
yes.
listen to you all day. Ngayon, you sound like a true real estate agent naman.
I know, right?
out of the many hats that you have.
Oh my gosh, she wears so many hats, no? Pero Sibyl, okay. So, okay, so for those people that because ito in over a glass or two po, we don't just because a lot of people think like, oh, you only interview like celebrities. No, we have like 300 plus episodes already since we started in 2020, pandemic started. So we not just only interview celebrities, of course, yung mga philams with, of course, inspiring stories. And of course, isang na po doon si Sibyl Santiago. Grabe, imagine mo.
Celebrity. Jake, kasi hindi pala ako celebrity. I'm sad.
Wait, girl, I got you, girl. That's what I'm about to say. I got you. Pero, nagkataon po, celebrity din po si Sibyl. Artista rin po siya.
What I'm saying is this. Yung alam mo yung mga kasi diba parang mainstream diba na tipong mga yung mga Gary Valenciano, Boy Abunda, mga Vilma Santos
lang ni, ano,
and Sibyl. Then meron kami actually ito yung sinabi ko kay Sibyl, sabi ko I think ang Overglasser to right now we want to pivot to not just like the film celebrities, we want to pivot to of course like you know Sibyl Santiago like you know Filipino celebrities lang eh, and now we want to pivot to Phil-am celebrities naman in talagang in the US, right? Or Filipinos all over the world that, you know, who makes Filipino proud, diba? So, of course, Sibyl is one of those.
It makes sense because, I mean, yes. Even I want TFC, even TFC, like it's global, right? And yes, we're yes, everywhere. Yes. Like, yes. It's really amazing that when you travel the world, you find that there's like a, you always bump into a Filipino, which is always my proudest moment. Like, I remember... Yes. My first time in Iceland and bumping into a Filipino family, and I'm like, you guys live here? And they're like, yeah, like they're multi-generational there already. So I'm like, how? Like, I don't even, to me, I didn't connect from Philippines how you end up in Iceland, because weather alone is like two completely different worlds. But we're there and there's like a big community there. So I'm always really proud and amazed, like, you know, how far diaspora goes, you know, it's really pretty exciting.
That's why
we need representation, guys, because
exactly,
we are everywhere.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's why, alam mo, Sibyl, I'm so proud of you, especially when you and Justin, right? Because we want to have an interview too with Justin, diba? With Justin. So we're proud of you guys because when I first, you know, like when Sibyl and I started, like we became closer and closer. I was like when she was telling me the story, narrating the story about how you guys made Soho Film Festival from scratch, and now it's like you guys are up there. And nagulat ako kasi sabi mo, we want to make sure that you know Filipino artists, producers, actors and actresses, like you want to make sure that nandun sa mapa ang mga Filipinos, no? And you always give chance. Diba? Yeah. Yung mga, especially yung mga Filipino actors na, film actors na, they've only been dreaming to be on, you know, the Hollywood or at least international in the US. Pero no one want to give them a chance. But Seoul Film Festival did, right?
Yeah,
kwento mo nga, Sibyl. Yeah, paano nag-start to? Kwento mo. Sige, kwento muna yung story ni Sibyl Santiago. Yan.
Me. Yes. Okay. That's an interesting one. Kasi... My mom, I think my mom is, in terms of the Filipino audiences, maybe, they'll remember her, Lorely Villanueva, you know, Maxima La Bandera, you know, the Auntie of
Charles.
I know, Auntie of Charles, in between Walang Ningning, or, you know, as the Auntie of Leia. You know, it's funny because I was the baby that she had during the time where her career was kind of crazy busy. My mom is a founding member of PETA as well. So her friends are like, you know, Cecile Guedote, of course, Alino Broca. So, like, these are her barcadas, so Cortita Mitch, Valdez, and all of that. Like, this was, like, her circle in her world. So there's always the theater world and the film world, right? And But when Lino started directing stuff, like, a lot of their projects were always the same actors that was also in the theater company. Like, some of them, some movies, they might be leads, and other movies, they might be extras, but it's literally their theater company. It's such a beautiful, like... You know how we talk about having your tribe? They had a tribe. Like that's like what I always aspire to having, you know, surrounding yourself with the good people that really support you. In terms of me, where I come in is that when my mom had me at that time, I was the baby, because she was so busy, I was the baby that was with her backstage, with her, like, you know, and like when she's filming. That's why I was in Manila. I was a baby, but at Manila, when they were shooting that, you know, she was a mom. She was still like,
yes,
a mom, no matter what. Like, she always like had, you know, taking care of the children. So she would have me on set with her. So I think it was almost natural. Tito Lino, like, at that time was just like, let's make sure she goes in there with Bemble and, like, you know, walk on. Like, I was barely walking, but they got me to walk in, you know, in one scene because my mom happened to be in that film as well. So it's like one of those kind of sort of, that's how the story started. And then I'm the one. So my mom, you know, my mom actually has 7 kids. But from the kids,
wait, you guys, I didn't know, 7?
My mom has 7 kids.
Wow, and dami.
7 siblings. I know.
Oh my God.
Well, Mommy married. Lorely and has you were 7 like, children.
Are you in the middle?
Children.
Or... So technically, I'm in the middle. But in terms of like growing up, you know, because my mom, you know, she was divorced with her first husband and she had 3 kids. But when she had me, I had my 3 younger sisters that I grew up with. So I kind of grew up like the eldest for, you know, for me and my 3 younger sisters, till, you know, till we reconnected with everyone later on. But it's just interesting because from her, all her kids, 2 of us kind of went into this world. You know, my sister Donna became a theater actress and she's really well celebrated there and she's done a lot of stuff in the Philippines. And I was doing PETA training there and then, you know, had to come back here. I was born here actually. Mom brought me there when I was a baby. So, or when I was younger, I should say, a toddler, and then came back here. So I had to come back here, but got started acting there already in the Philippines, doing PETA Children's Theater, doing Kulit Bulilit. I was in Florida Luna, like doing like, what, you know, those little younger roles.
What age were you? So you were born, I know you were born in the U.S. And then what age were you when you went back to the Philippines?
I think mom took me there. I mean, she must have taken me as a baby and then came back here. But I know she brought me back there probably as a toddler. I would think like around maybe, because I started acting, you know, in the children's theater. And then, like I said, there was the show Kulit Bulilit that we were in, and I did a little bit of Kalus Kusmusmus. And then Flor de Luna came, which was like a regular role for me. I was like the youngest member of the crew at that time. And I was doing that for a bit. And then I think mom was just kind of, she wanted, because it was distracting, because, you know, in the Philippines, when you're in a show, especially in a series, you're literally shooting every day and then you have school every day. So I think it got a little bit tough because I'm always getting picked up before school ends. I have to leave because I have to get to set and then I have to come back. And for a young kid, you know, she didn't like that I have basically not sleeping. Okay. I don't sleep anymore or anyway. But so I think and then she decided to bring me back here because it was a little bit too much, you think. But then, of course, it's in your blood. It's in your soul. So I come back here. I'm in a theater company. I'm in a dance company. And it doesn't stop. So,
well, what age were you when you moved to, from the Philippines? What age were you when you moved to the
U.S.? Back here? I think I came back just a little bit after freshman. So like sophomore year.
High school.
High school, yeah.
Oh, that's the reason why you still know how to speak Tagalog.
I learned Tagalog and Ilonggo.
Ilonggo? Wow. Okay.
Balik tayo dun sa ano, yung sa na-mention mo yung...
Ano, mahaba yung origin story ko eh.
I know. Okay. No, we love your origin story.
Sorry.
Diba? Yung sa Maynila, sa Kukunang Liwanag, do you remember that pa o hindi na?
Not really until I saw the pictures. And it's funny because I was in Cannes in 2013, and they actually had it at Classic Cannes. And I happened to, you know, be there that year, so I got to see... Hilda was there and I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe the film is here and I get to see myself walk into the screen. But yeah, I never saw it till actually that time. I only saw photos.
Yung remastered na siya. Wow, ha?
Remastered. Wow. Yeah.
And by the way, ha, Jekas, Sibyl was also included in Flor de Luna. I don't know. I'm not so sure, guys, if you know Flor de Luna.
Yung sinasabi nga niya kanina eh, di ba? Yung sa Flor de Luna, ito lahat, ha? Somehow, hindi ko alam, hindi ko naman kayo kaedad, pero naalala
ko right. Ako ng face na to. Hindi kaedad, sampalin mo si Bill.
I'm such a liar. Anyway, yes. Kulit Bulilit, alam ko yan. I watched that religiously. So,
anong age? Anong year yun? Joke.
Anong bang year? Diyos ko.
Parang kunwari, hindi ko alam eh. No? Okay.
1980s? Ano ba?
No? Bata, mga bata pa.
I love that show. And then yung Flor de Luna, of course. But with Janice de Belen,
diba? Yeah. And I remember
it's an iconic show. Oh my God!
You know, I have like vivid memories of I spent so much time at that time in a Broadcast City, I think was the name of the place that we would have the shoot. And there were like different studios. And I remember, and it's funny because back then I just remember the whole thing about Julie, because my mom actually is really good friends with Julie's mom. She was in a show called Annalisa. Yeah.
Julie. Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah, because they were competing. Wow. I think we were competing. Not competing,
yes,
you know, the two big shows, and they're both about this, you know, the young girl. And that was the two, like, competing shows. So it was kind of like, it's just funny, like, little bits of memories come back every now and then. I don't know who I was talking to that came up. And I'm like, I remember there was a show called Annalisa. And I remember Julie because I remember, like, we would, you know, have events together as kids back then, you know. I was the youngest one on set, so I was always younger than them. But it was like, I remember, like, just having gatherings with. And it's actually funny, Jesse, like you said, at the festival this year, we had Herbert Bautista's son, right?
Yeah.
In The Room, the movie that was at the festival. And it's funny because I was like, oh, my God, your dad. Like, I remembered. I mean, we were the kids. You know, we were that kids that were working in that, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Grabe, no? Pero alam mo,
full circle. Suddenly, I feel old when I saw his son. I didn't till that time. I was like, oh my God.
Hindi, at saka si Bill, hindi lang yung reason for the full circle, I guess. Kasi if you were working in Broadcast City, di ba sa Channel 9 yan dati? Jesse was also working in Channel 9 before.
I know.
Ano nga yung Jesse?
No way.
No, I was before I decided to come to the U.S., I know I was like a early newscaster for like
in,
almost a year. So
yung
every hour, so I'll have like a 1 minute or 2 minutes fame. So I'll read the freaking news and be bored about it because I have to wait for every 1 hour. So 5 hours I have to in RPN9. Pero during that time, RPN9, wala namang nanunood. Right, Sibyl? Right, there's very...
No, honestly, don't even remember the channels. Like,
yeah, Channel 9, yeah. Channel 13, di ba?
Oh, kasi may competition sila, di ba? Di ba, 7, 2. Pero, di, ay, kapamilya
tayo. But 9,
tayo,
no, so. Nobody watch it at 13. So, may ganun.
Pero, so, but in back then, yes. Am I wrong? But back then, they didn't really have the whole kapamilya, kapuso, all that stuff.
Oh,
right?
No. Yeah, during that time, no.
They don't have the network.
There's no rivalry during that time. Yeah. Oh, parang everyone are equal during that time.
I was feeling it, siguro, it was really brewing between the Channel 2 and 7.
They were the major ones.
It was starting.
Yung mga
yes. 80s,
90s, yeah. It was brewing na.
Yes. Oh, my.
Pero I'm learning something from you guys.
When you came back from, when you decided to come back, or you decided or your mom decided to come back to the U.S.?
No, my mom decided to come back
your
to the U.S. for me, to bring me back to, you know, to continue school so that I can be more focused in school. But, you know, but she still let me have, like, theater, and I was in a dance company and stuff. So.
Oh, so it was really, like, in your heart. You know, it wasn't like that your mom forced you
to,
like,
you. My mom never, she's not a stage mom, first of all. She was always like, if you want to do that performance, if you're going to do this, you better make sure your grades are a certain way. Otherwise, you cannot go. Like, if my grades fell down a little bit, I'm not allowed to perform. I'm not allowed to go anywhere. If I have auditions, things like that, she was like the opposite of like stage mom. She's like, no. Because, you know, she wanted it to be our thing. Like, if we really wanted to do it, we have to kind of work for it, you know? So.
So what were you studying when you arrived in the U.S.? When
I came back, I was in high school. Yeah.
High school. So were you active in, you know, theater in high school?
Yeah.
Or
I did. So I did theater in school. And also I did theater in the city because at that time I was in a dance company that was touring us with the Philippine Dance Company of New York, which is an arm of Bayanihan that was here.
Oh,
well, before that, I was actually doing, I started with Ballet Asia. So I used to dance classical and modern ballet. And then I saw this Filipino dance troupe perform. And I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen that before. And they were really beautiful on stage. And then it turns out the artistic director of that dance company at that time was Reynaldo Alejandro, who is a very well-celebrated Filipino, you know, author and artist. And happens to know my mom. So my mom basically said, you know, I was interested in auditioning for the dance company. And I did. And I ended up, you know, doing that instead for a long time, touring with the dance company. For almost 4 years.
You're a ballet dancer.
Alam mo, I started as a ballet dancer, but I'm not, apparently 5'8 is not tall enough. Plus, you know, I'm not like a tiny skinny girl. Like, it's really hard.
Wait,
most
hold
ballet dancers,
so,
I dance.
Ballet dancer?
Gumagano ka talaga, yung ganun?
Toes on toes. Yeah, I did.
Wait. Ito ha, a friend ko yun si Sibyl, pero of course, whenever like we hang out or we don't talk about, like, that's why I'm learning a lot from you. So, parang ballet dancer, so you mentioned that 5'8 is short for
yeah.
a ballet dancer?
Well, for that company that I was in, because everybody was either Russian or African American,
oh, yeah.
so all long bodies. I enjoyed it, but it was different when I did modern, right? So I was enjoying modern more than the classical. And then eventually it just, you know, when I saw the dance company, like I said, I ended up switching. But I kept continuing. At the time I was doing jazz and stuff because I was in theater. So I was doing musical theater. So when you do that, you know, you kind of have to learn modern jazz and stuff. But it was a journey.
Ang galing, no? So wait, so that was like you were doing ballet, you were doing dancing first, right? So paano ka nag-start sa, I mean, wow, like pagdating sa ano ah, pagdating po sa producing, directing, acting. I mean, Sibyl is like the epitome of every, you know, like andun talaga siya sa pinnacle. So paano nag-start to, Sibyl? Kwento.
I think kasi, you know, honestly, I've always been helping naman in production because my mom, she's a veteran actress, but she also owned her own production company. So like we're kind of trained to work in her production company. So I have a little bit of experience on the backside or behind the camera side.
Okay.
That it was, it was almost natural that whenever there's a project, an independent project, my friends, I helped out all the time. But then time came. As you're getting a little bit older, like I was realizing that there's not as many roles for me out there, or it seemed like every role that would fit me, there's just like, it was so little that so many of us compete for the same thing. And I think after a while, you get tired of waiting for things to happen to you, for you, I should say, that I'd started to think about doing things that would, you know, that I can do, that I would like to bring my friends that I know should be working and hasn't been working, and like try to like create a community to work together. And that's sort of what started the conversation of like, why don't you become a producer? And I was at first not taking it as seriously until I got involved with a feature film, the one that Nicholas Brooks directed and wrote. That is the son of Mel Brooks, for people who might know comedy and stuff. He's like the king of comedy here. He's amazing. He's a legend. How do you say no to a project like that? So I was helping that project, and I got, and Nick asked me if I could be the full producer for it, which I became the producer. And he was the one who encouraged me that you should start your own production company, mostly for, at that time, paperwork reasons, but it's also like to encourage me to really dive into it more, you know, more formally per se. And I did, and I took a chance and I went for it, and basically started from there. I was able to actually pick up projects of some of my friends, some of my AAPI friends, some of my, you know, like more POC projects that I felt was like lacking, you know, for a lot of the, you know, for us to actually see. I wanted to see me, someone like me, I should say, on screen, right? Like, I'm not saying me personally, but someone who looks like me up there. And it's very, you know, it's so rare that I, you know, we started like creating our own projects, and that's how it started. And it just, you know, kind of from there, thank God, I mean, knock on wood, it's been busy, and yeah.
But
except right now, because of the strike, but you know.
Because
you're researching, and I mean, so you have an SAG card, right? So you started out like acting karen dito sa States a little bit.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I still do. Like, I still get called in. So when I get called in, I do go on. So I still do some TV and stuff and some movies.
Sibyl, ano nga? I'm just curious. I'm sure ito, a lot of the films would want to know that they want to, you know, enter to, you know, they want to start doing showbiz. I mean, like, they want to start acting. I know in the Philippines, for as long as, come on, magpakatotoo tayo, di ba? In the Philippines, like, mestiza ka lang, you know how it is, right? Like, light skin, mestiza, and then if you want to be an actor, an actress, you just have to go and do VTR, and then after that, okay, you can, we'll give you a role here and there. But what's the difference in the US? Is it harder? I know because one time nagkukwentuhan kami ni Sibyl. Sibyl, I was surprised when Sibyl and Rachel told me, like, even if like us, like even if you like a small role, like a cameo, you have to audition. And I'm like, huh? Yeah. Especially if you have like a speaking part, and we would just say like, what are you doing? You have to audition for that. I was like, why?
Yep.
So, paano? Like, kwento nga, for those people that they're oblivious, obviously. They don't know where to start, how to start. I mean, where to go. Kwento nga, paano sila magsa-start?
Well, kung dito, so really, that's a tough question to answer, right? Like, how to start. I always believe, because there's always this idea that anyone can be an actor, which is not the case. Everyone thinks they want to be an actor, which is not always the case. A lot of times, you know how many times since I started producing, especially people know I'm producing, they're like, I want to be in the movies, please, I want to be an actor. And then, you know, once you bring them on set, they can't hack it. So what it is that you have to know, if you really want to do this, you need to know that your heart is really in this. Because 99% of the time, you're being rejected. This is the job. You know, it's not like you're always getting, you're right. It's very different in the Philippines. It's really funny because for a long time, I had trouble auditioning when I first came back here. Because in the Philippines, I never had to audition. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Yeah. Right. You just happen to know my mom is so popular.
I'm a nepo baby.
Maybe in the beginning, but then I started doing my own thing also. So when I was doing my own show, I get called in to do another show because they already know you, right?
Yes.
So as it is in the Philippines also, it's like if you have a manager that knows people, like you said, like even someone who's not talented, if they're the look that they want, they'll just bring them in, which is sometimes a very frustrating thing because you do have a lot of really talented actors that I've met from the Philippines, and I feel like you don't see their full capacity as actors because they're not given a chance to really stretch their muscles. Because if you're famous enough, they'll just put you sometimes in things that are just, you know, because your face is there, it doesn't matter what the content is, which is kind of sad, right?
So, and as an actor, they train them, you know, to be good actors.
Not all the time. That's the thing. So I feel like maybe that's the difference of like the time of my mom, like during their time, when at least for me growing up watching them during the PETA days, like I saw how hard these guys worked because I got to see this even as a kid. Like I always was in awe watching them because they rehearsed constantly. They partied a lot, but they also rehearsed constantly. They were always at the theater, and then they go and shoot. Even when they shoot the movie, they always rehearse before they shoot it. Like, there's like a very different discipline that when I actually got called to do I did like this film in the Philippines. It was with Rufa. And I remember like watching how that set was on. It's so different like than what I used to watch when my mom would, you know, Dolphy and them and like, you know, like Nino. Like during that time, it was so different. Like as a kid watching them, how they worked, how their process was and how it is like, the younger, newer one. It was very different. And it didn't feel as involved and as stretched out for the actors, I felt at least. So it's really interesting because I think that now is actually a really great time because I feel like I am seeing more of the, I guess they call independent filmmakers from the Philippines coming up and coming out.
Yes.
And doing projects that are actually a lot more meaningful and deep that I feel like now, like, you know, like even seeing Dolly in the film, like it's like seeing that they're really pushing for cinema again, the way it was during that time, like the '70s, eighties, you know? I'm not saying that, you know, there's a lot of bad films. I'm saying like, it's just from what I'm seeing, at least on this end, because I don't get to see everything from the Philippines, obviously. But what I see that makes it over here, it's good to see projects that have real stories again. And like, actually, you see the actors, the directors that work with actors for real. It's just a big deal. I mean, that's why you see them go further, obviously, in the international market, as they should be. Yeah, which is something we're pushing for with the festival. Like, we like getting those projects. I mean, it's great to have a good name there, but if it's not a strong film, then, you know, what's the point? They're going to get distribution anyway. They're going to get seen anyway. They're going to get press anyway. Exactly. You want to bring the ones that need help to get noticed and get seen because they should be seen. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to always be just a famous person, but it should be someone really good that you can celebrate, you know, and be
like
proud
audition.
Of.
They have to audition.
Like, no matter, you are. Like, I'll say right now, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off, but like, there's this really big casting director here in New York that does major, you know, major, like major studio. And she always said to me, you know, I love this actress and that actor. I met them. I know they're very big in the Philippines and stuff. I wish that they would stay and they would come here and read for stuff. But I get frustrated because every time we do have something, you know, they don't really, like, they'll be like, oh, I got to go to the Philippines and I'll come back maybe. And I don't, can't really stay. Like, it's really sad because, you know, they have opportunities to be mainstream here, but because they're,
they have to go back sa Pinas.
And also my commitments, you know, their managers book them through a lot of things that they cannot, they have no, kasi dito, let's say nasa theater ka, no? And they actually have it now with Equity, for example. Meron silang rule na pag, let's say, kahit ikaw yung main actor, pagka you get a big role in a movie or whatever, they actually will give you, you know, with permission, you ask permission, they'll give you the days you need to shoot that and come back. Yung mga ganon, because they put value in it because they know that it means something. Okay. We don't have that flexibility, I think, sa Philippines kasi yung commitments nila very tight with like their brands that they do because all of them are brands.
Yeah. But may ganun pa nga sometimes it's ano, let's say for example, you know the typical Filipino, if they see the kids are like so mixed and beautiful, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. So they will always say like, you know what, pauwiin ko ng Pilipinas kasi so that my son or my kid, they can be an actor in the Philippines and then eventually if they notice, if he, let's say he's, after a few years they'll become well known and then he'll come back here to become an actor in the US. So I'm like, why do you have to go home first to hone your talent and then come back here? I mean, if you can really like, you know, train in the US. Because they said like, how true is it? Like, it's harder to enter the showbiz industry in the US compared to the Philippines. How true is that, Sibyl?
It is true as it is. It is true. In a sense that if you really have to kind of put in the work, right? When you're here. And that means not just the taking classes and such, but also doing like the legwork for it. Meaning like if you need to, you know, you have to go out there and get seen, you have to go out there and like if you had an agent or manager, and that's a thing, you have to be on top of your agent and manager because you're not always, you know, unless you have a manager that's so excited about you, that's pushing you. Which is the difference, by the way. That's what it is. So representation in the Philippines, I got to say, their managers there, they keep their talents busy, especially when they're a hot commodity. They keep them busy. And that's something that here is hard to do unless you're making money for your agency or your manager, you might not be on the top of their pile. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, so wait, do you really need to have an agent manager here? An agent is so important?
You don't. It's an unwritten requirement. Put it that way. It's like you don't have to, but it helps a lot to have representation because when you're going to the studio and network level, especially, it makes a difference to have representation because they're the ones that, first of all, make the deal for you. They're the ones that push for you. And also the studio and the most of the studio, I shouldn't say all, but most of the studios and network will always hire someone that they feel has some kind of experience already being on set or at least will be professional, and they're always in the belief that when someone is represented, like a manager or an agent is representing someone, that means someone already vetted them and someone already is like believing in them. So then it's like another layer, you know, it's just sort of like a safety net almost. Right. They like discovering talent, but you know,
it was about how important is training, like because there's some actors, well, I heard some stories like from friends who told me like some of like, for example, the Filipino actors, right? Let's say they want to come to the US and they believe that they don't need to go to classes because they already know how to act. But I know in the US, you need to go through training and spend money for you to learn. So what's the difference? Is it really that imperative?
You know, my mom, I always remember her saying, she always says, when people call her a professional actor, she always says, I'm a professional and I'm an actor. She doesn't like to use professional actor together because to her it means that you feel like you already know everything. And there is no such thing. And as an actor, that is very important that you're open. because for every production or everything that you work on, you need to always have the element of wanting to learn about who you're working with, what you're doing, and where you are. You have to be a professional to be on set, meaning you should be on time, you should know your call, you should know your lines, blah, blah, blah. But it's one thing as an actor yourself, if you're serious, you need to be always curious. You need to always be learning. You need to be open to learn, because the day that you stop wanting to learn, then you're in trouble, because, you know, we're human beings. Like, you can't, you know, you can't be absolute about something. There is no such thing, because every day changes, everyone's different. Things happen, you know, you have to be open to all of those changes. So I think training is important. Training is important to have a backbone, because to be a professional, you have to have that.
And in short, wag mo dali ng pagka-diva mo kahit sikat ka na.
You can't. Uy, teka.
Mawawala. Pag nag-diva ka na, parang wala na. So what's the point? You know what I mean? Like,
teka, Sibyl. Speaking of diva, meron ka na bang mga na-meet na? Yung mga actors and actresses, sobrang diva. And if you did, I'm sure a lot. How did you handle it? Sino sila joke?
mamaya gusto ko yan.
Over a drink na lang.
Drink na lang yun.
A dozen of bottle of wine. Yeah, so how did you deal with it? Like, what is the worst, you know, like, experience that you had?
Siguro, alam mo, for me, it's a little bit different kasi nga, you know, I've kind of come from that world because I've seen my mom deal with that. And, you know, so I don't really get, I feel the way I see it, if someone is like that, I don't want to deal with them and I don't want to care. I don't care about them. So, but on set, specifically on set, I think I've been able to deal with a few of them in the past, but basically this is what I love about being a producer now, because as a producer, I can just choose to like lessen their importance in the film. Do you know what I mean? So I actually can do that. When I was an actor, another crazy actor, you know, I just, like I said, I try to remain professional. I do my part and I do what I need to do. And, you know, I feel like it's on
wala
them.
Wala namang violent reaction. Kasi, ay, bakit ganito na lang ako?
Ay, teka, ito, Jay Casa, si Sibyl kasi is one of the, she was the producer of, what is that movie with, Dito Yung Sikat? Ando sila Sasha Padilla.
The Story of Us.
The Story of Us. She was a producer. Actually, she was even one of the cast of The Story of Us. Kwento nga pala sa...
Like, nakakatuwa lang yun, actually. It's so funny because... Actually, Richard Somers was a director in that one. And it's so funny because when they told me that, you know, do you want to read for this role? I was like, sure. It's just funny because, you know, Sasha is kind of like... sort of a kind of tita, right? In a sense,
yes.
To me.
Yeah.
But then I had to play her best friend, so basically play her age, you know, age group in the movie.
I know, it's a big huge.
And I'm like,
a big gap. Okay.
You know, look older. I probably look older now, but it was
during
really
that
fun
time, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun to do that as an actor. As a producer, it was a little difficult because they were coming from the Philippines, and you know, the way I guess TV works there is very different than we work here. And you're working on a series that, I guess the way they work in the Philippines, you rewrite things like on the spot.
Yes.
But they're shooting on the other side of the world. And, you know, New York is a great place to shoot, but it's a difficult place in a sense because things need to be kind of pre-planned and set. Like here, we can't do things like, oh, you know, let's just go to this location instead of that location.
Ganun,
you
can't wing it. Hindi pwedeng ganun.
Dapat yeah, permit. Okay.
You know? Kailangan may set ka na ng gagawin.
Yeah. Okay. So so medyo difficult in that sense, like in terms of like coordinating it. Kasi iba yung expectation. Plus they had like a crew from the Philippines. So syempre, you know, I know how I know how it is in the Philippines. Like think the way we have to be very always malambing to each other no matter what.
Yes.
Like in New York, time is literally like of the essence in everything, you know, meaning like if you're saying this is an hour here, you have to know that you're really an hour here, because things, you can't like be just dilly-dallying because everyone here, time is so important, right? So that was the tricky part, the scheduling and coordinating things because of the little time that they have coming to New York, and then it's winter and then they're traveling back and forth. But I gotta say, I'm impressed that they managed, you know, they managed to put this the episodes together. They were changing even while we were here.
Changing script. The script?
Yeah. Which I think is typical in the shows in the Philippines, I heard. So that was, to me, a bit of a culture shock because, you
bakit
know.
Dito hindi? Hindi pwede dito? I mean, you
unless
know,
you're US. Working on like, a, unless you're working on like regular series in a studio.
Oh.
You don't really, yeah, it doesn't. But in a studio, that happens because in a studio, everything's controlled, right? So you can easily change scenes and move around. But siyempre on location, it's harder to do that. But you know, I gotta say, I'm impressed that they got it done and the show, I think, did well, right? From what I heard.
Oh yes, The Story of Us. Yes.
So, and it was we were all in the trenches, but like we did it together, and I think it, you know, it looked pretty. It would have been nice to have more of the New York vibe really come through, but I'm not sure if it did because we had some, you know, some tricky days. It was tough on some days. Yeah.
Galing no. Pero si Valencia, you know, we worked
here. Oh, time also because here. You cannot, you know, we have the Department of Labor, as you know.
Yes.
So you cannot work
for
hours a day, which I know in the Philippines, production can just keep going and going and going. Here, you have to be like, no, 12-hour turnaround. Like, it's required. Otherwise, you know, we could get
I think they're trying to change.
Right?
They're trying to change that in there.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because they have some really good people, huh? The crews are great in the Philippines because I got to shoot in the Philippines and I love the people I work there. Like, that's why I really hope that they change it for their sake because I think a lot of them are definitely overworked.
Kasi importante talaga yun, no? Para hindi ma-overwhelm and
ma-overwork. Naman yung mga crew. A lot of them travel pa like hours, you know, like they live because I guess getting around Manila is like hours and hours to get
totoo
around.
Yan,
you
know? Totoo yan. Pero si Bel, what about like a Soho naman, Soho film? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So, when did you, as in, ang galing ha? Like, I know that you're like the, teka, the person behind, actually one of the person behind you and Justin, right? But you're like one of the person that the reason why Soho Film is up there, it's growing and growing because you were like the person behind it, right? So paano nag-umpisa to? Like, I know Justin started like how many years ago? 8 years ago?
He started in 2009 was when he founded the festival.
He founded the festival,
Soho International Film Festival.
Yes, Soho International Film Festival, yeah. So he's the founder. That was 2009 that he started the company. I think they presented their first year in 2010. So I knew about the festival. It was started as like this, you know, kind of like they needed space. A lot of filmmaker friends of theirs needed space to kind of like showcase their film because, you know, a lot of the big festival that was originally put together without mentioning names to help New York and you know to kind of rebuild after 9/11 wasn't seeing as much of the New Yorker independent films, or at least there was a feeling that they were getting left out. So I think that's how the idea started, like, why don't we put up our own, you know, kind of like mini festival, right? So it was like an event in the loft, like a screening, a pop-up screening, a beautiful event where they had like a lot of different, you know, kind of like artistic events going on. And they had put out a call for films that might want to be screened, expecting to maybe get 20, 30 films to submit, and they might maybe program, I don't know, 5 to 10. They ended up getting, I think, 200 or so films. So it was like a sign that there was a need for it, right? There was a need. There was like not many films that were submitted from New York. So George and I, Justin and I should say, we actually, at that time, I was still actively acting as well, and so was he, but he also owned an agency. We bumped into each other at a project, at a set, and we talked about the festival, and he was like, listen, you know, I really would love to expand this and kind of see where we could go with this. Like, can you help me? And I was like, you know, I was very active in the independent space. I was active as an, you know, acting and producing at that time. So I was like, let's see where we can go. And that's when we partnered up. And the first thing I said to him, I think we need to move into a theater. And he was like, that's what he was thinking. So we've been already like in the same, you know, space. So a mindset. So we, that was the first thing with it, was we got a theater. So that's when we moved to the Quad. And so the second year was when I fully kind of came on board. And at that time, I had a few, like, you know, mini celebrity friends here in New York, that were willing to come and show up and lend their name and be part of the festival. And they did.
Oh, wow.
We had a few celebrities show up so that, you know, even Michael Imperioli was there. Like, it was nice because then that kind of gave it like levity and like, you know, a little bit more like weight. And so because of that, like, it just went into like the next year. The submissions just kind of like double tripled. And so we just from there kept expanding, and then eventually couldn't fit with the quad, had to move to Sunshine so we could have, you know, premieres for like 300 people and stuff. And then now we're at the Village East, so it's just by Angelica, because we needed a theater,
a bigger, that can accommodate, oh, yes,
yeah, for the big premieres, because we started getting more and more premieres, and more films started like wanting to premiere with us and would wait for us to open them. So it just, it really expanded from there. And we're really happy because, I'm an independent filmmaker, producer as well. So this is my world. And I feel like there's so many voices out there and so many stories that are not getting seen on the world stage. And it's nice to be part of being the ones that put them up there. Because a lot of the films that go to the festival do get either distribution or go to the next big festival and like really move forward from there. So I feel blessed in that sense that we're able to find those voices, you know, and that includes the Filipino film filmmakers that we find.
Okay. So when you first started, and then, so when you first started, did you have like a hard time, you know, making Seoul Film Festival be known, you know, in the whole US, especially in New York? Kasi syempre parang there's already like the Venice Festival, the Sundance Festival, and then there's Soho. Was this a struggle?
It's still a struggle. We're a grassroots festival. Yes. So I think we're lucky because I think at the end of the day, the intention comes through. And I think filmmakers know. They see the work that we put in. They see that they are literally the high, like we put them on the pedestal that they deserve to be on. And because of that, because, you know, I applied a lot of the experiences that I had, or I have, I should say, because I still go through it regularly, when I go to festivals for my films, right? And I go out there, some great experiences and some really bad ones. And you know, you spend a lot of money, you spend a lot of effort to go to all of these. And then sometimes you go somewhere and then suddenly you're in a gymnasium and they would have a pop-up and you didn't know about that. And you made this trip and it's very heart and gut-wrenching because you put so much work and effort to like put your film together, you know, money that most of the time you don't have, right? Especially in the independent space. And so those are the kind of things that we want to avoid ever happening in our festival. So we make sure that the films have, you know, the filmmakers get like the VIP treatment. And you've been there. So you see like what we do. We have a nice red carpet for them. We have a photographer. We always official photographers. We have our press that show up. We have like, we really like roll out literally the red carpet to make sure that they have, you know, a space where they can have like a proper premiere. And then they're in a gorgeous theater where they can see, we tech everything, the sound, the way the film looks, everything to the T, so that the experience is good. And that's the goal of it. Because, and I think because of that, and you know, for a grassroots festival, we don't have the big marketing budget, as you know, and we don't have, like, we can't afford like a big PR agency. This has been through word of mouth, literally, that we've been growing. And just growing and growing from just filmmakers basically telling other filmmakers like, you gotta go to this festival. And like, we just grew from there. That's why our community is big, and we're lucky, because even without the promos and ads, they're there because everyone is telling everybody that they should come. And it's been great. Like, I really thought we would have less people this year because of the strike. Everything that could go wrong schedule wise happened.
Wait, excited ako next year, ha?
You have to come to that.
I've seen the pictures and the reels and the videos. It looks awesome. And congratulations, by the way.
Yes.
You mentioned actually in the strike nga pala. What's the update on that? Kasi ang alam ko, I thought it was resolved 2 weeks ago.
No, that's the WGA. So the Writers Guild resolved theirs. And then the SAG-AFTRA, which is the Actors Union, went back to the table, and they were making progress until it stumped last week with something pretty major where AMPTP walked away from the table, and it's like a whole, and there's a he said, she said kind of thing going on. But I just saw recent, like literally, I think yesterday or today, I got an email that AMPVDP is ready to come back to the table. I think, you know, I hope that the pressure from all, you know, all of my brothers and sisters striking out there, like, you know, they're willing to listen again and to sit down, which is really the biggest thing, is just getting them on the table and listen so we can work this out. So I think they're coming back this Tuesday to talk. So fingers crossed. I don't know what's going to happen by the time you air this, but I hope by that time you'll be able yourselves to put an update that says it got resolved. So we'll see.
Yeah, para everybody would work already because kawawa din yung mga actor friends natin, di ba?
Hindi lang actors kasi it's a domino effect. Kasi, you know, if they cannot shoot, it's not just the actors, all your crew, all vendors, all
the production. The production. The Sitting Cat production is sitting. It's just a sitting right now.
Pati nga yung like locations, like for example, yung mga restaurants or whatever, like even the food
you're
truck.
Right.
And the
yeah, you're right. Exactly. Tourism industry, lahat apektado. You're right.
Apektado, no? Yeah. Pero ito si Bella, for those people who's very curious, like, what's SAG? Like, what's the difference between, I know SAG is a union, right? So what's the difference between if you're a SAG actor, actress, and you're not part of it? So do they, is it important? Yes, in union and non-union.
It is. Because obviously as an actor, being in a union protects you. Right. Because then, you know, you have your rights and protection and there's like a regulation and what, you know, what your rates are and stuff. As a non-union actor, a lot of times you're kind of left in the open and you could be taken advantage of and such. So it is important if you can get into the union. Also, a lot of the major, obviously, studio, we talked about representation before with agents and managers and stuff. It's the same thing. Like, you know, when projects are with on the studio network level, especially if they're going to hire an actor, a lot of times, you know, they will need you to be in a union so that, you know, it's sort of like it shows that you're a professional actor, number one. And number two, I think it's a required thing so that, because you also have the workers union, you have the IATSE, you have all of these other, and they're all unions. So it sort of just makes it kind of completes the circle per se.
So usually what do you, as a producer, what do they usually, you guys usually prefer? Like non-union? Kasi I know meron akong mga narinig na parang ayoko mag-union. I mean, I want to be independent. So what do you usually prefer as a producer?
As a producer, I don't mind working with non-union actors, but I do, because I always feel like someone has to start somewhere. You have to give the opportunity for them to get to the union. But I do produce a lot of SAG productions myself because I'm SAG, right? So I want to protect the union actors. But there's a difference. So there's the actors union and there's the crew union. They have different unions as well. In the independent circle, it's hard to do a union film unless you have a decent budget because it's expensive. Like an independent producer cannot afford it. Yeah.
Okay.
For the actors, they're a lot more. SAG is more flexible on the actor pay. You know, if you're an independent production, so that's the difference, I think. But when you get to studio network level, there should be no question. They should pay all the union workers. Period. You know what I mean? Because they have the budget.
Okay. But before you can, be part of the SAG. You need to have like a resume, right? Like you need to have acting stints, right?
Yeah, you kind of earn your way towards a professional guild card. Unless you get lucky enough that they find you and you become a lead of something because they cannot find anyone else at all that's like you at all.
Chica, and then baka ano na ni Jcas. Baka turn mo na Jcas. Maybe this is your
ano
calling.
Ano nga kayo ni? Baka, you know, ipull ka na.
Baka ito na yung ano mo, diba? Time to shine. Right? Like, pero, Sibyl, I'm curious. Kasi ito, alam ko, it's hard for a producer, especially yung mga, you know, who has no budget, but their passion is to create film. So how do they make money? Like, I mean, the reason why I'm asking this is like, I know a lot of people want to do it. That's one of their passion, but just they don't know how to do it. Like, and they feel like, how will I make money? Do I need to ask for sponsors? How will I ask? So give us like a, you know, like a
independent film?
A gist of, yes, right? Of independent film. Like, how do you make money and how do you start? Kasi yung iba nagugulohan sila, how do they start? How will they start?
Okay. How do you make money is a question I'm asking still.
Yes, 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 yes.
So when someone knows, somebody let me know.
Exactly.
But, you know, okay. A lot of people that do this, we're artists, right? We love what we do. It's really about the creative. So you're always willing to put everything and anything on the line to make things happen, to tell your story and to create. You hope that you can, you know, monetize them, obviously. I guess there's no like straight answer to say like this is how you do it and you'll
and
make money.
There's no formula. Okay.
Yeah, there's no formula except to just try to do the right thing when you're putting together your projects, right? You do your research. I mean, it really helps to have someone with a good business acumen. It can't be just all creatives in a project. You have to have somebody who knows about money who knows too. About strategy, who knows how to, you know, to figure out how financing works, how you can, you know, leverage things, you know, whether it be tax incentives from the state or whether it's like an angel investor versus like, you know, your mom and dad giving, you know, some of your 401k. Like, you need to know how to manipulate and handle that in such a way that at the minimum you want to know. So learning how to have your ROI, your return for your investment, is obviously a whole other level.
Exactly.
But in a project, you really don't know. You're just assuming this could potentially be where it would go. This could potentially be where it would make money. You know, that's why sometimes you see like a serious writer director might make a very commercial film, because a commercial film tends to sell, you know, horror movies, slasher, whatever, you know, action films, stuff like the comedies. But then, you know, every now and then they'll jump into something heavier. But we need both of those. Anyway, content-wise, like as an audience, I love watching, like, you know, my little horror movie here, my comedy there that's a little bit where I don't have...
Your Mission Impossible. Yeah, we all love that.
Yeah, exactly. We all enjoy it. So it's okay. Like, you have to allow yourself to be able to do that. Don't be, you know, gone are the days where there used to be like, I'm an auteur. I only do this. That doesn't exist. If you want to actually make...
I'm an artiste.
Yeah, I'm an artiste, so I cannot do this kind of project.
Oh,
it doesn't exist. You have to be open. I guess it's all about being open and just like being able, you know, and just as long as you still love what you do, I think you find a way. And obviously, I also believe that if you really put that much effort and love in your project, it does shine through, it does come through, and people kind of, they get it, the audience gets it. And that, you know, obviously the more audience you have, you know, hopefully that means that you'll make money, because, you know, you'll get more clicks, you'll get more downloads, you'll get more ticket sales, whatever it is. And I'll say, as a Philam and as a Filipino, I'll just say, because I got to say this, if Philippines is hearing this, please, when any Filipino actor project writing is out there in the Hollywood stage, parang awa lang. Even if it's not your thing, even if you don't like it, try not to say bad things about it. Try to support it. Because I'll tell you, Hollywood is about numbers. They don't care if you love or hate something. If the numbers are there, they're going to keep making it. They're going to keep believing in it. And if you want them to highlight Filipino stories, highlight Jokoy movies, highlight things like that, then we need to support it. You don't have to love it. You can just support it. And just,
that's,
you know,
true.
Cause even if
that's
you're not
so
the
true.
Audience, someone is an audience. You know, you don't, because that's all they care about is metrics. It's the number of people downloading it, the number of people like clicking it. Kasi pag nakikita nila na yung parang sikat yung mga Filipino, parang maraming nanonood, like the Korean films, for example, they have a big following. They get like, so then, you know, Netflix is like, you know what? Gawa pa tayo, let's do more. Let's produce more.
They're gonna contact you, Sibyl, and they're gonna say, Sibyl, round up your Filipino crew. Diba?
Ito, Sibyl, speaking of that.
There was kinding ways to support. Like, I remember, like, some of these films that came out recently, like, I hear, like, two different groups, and I'm like, guys, even if you don't like it, you gotta just support it. And you know what?
About it.
We
yes.
can talk about it at lunch and say things that you don't love. but don't put it out there in the internet. That, oh, I hate it.
Tama,
because
kitchen,
you know,
table
what?
Talk.
It goes,
yeah.
Back to, exactly. No, it goes back to the studios, and they're going to be like, you know what? The Philippines is not going to support it. And Filipinos don't like this Filipino thing, so why bother? You know, you don't want that. Kailangan tayo,
that's good to know.
Like,
that's
tight
good to know.
And close parate. Atin-atin. Kahit atin-atin lang. Because ganun yung Korean community, ganyan sila. The Chinese, like, talagang they're always tight. They support.
Yeah, they, you so, don't yeah. hear, like, bad-mouthing their own, right?
They probably do in the back end, because I've heard them back in the back end.
Of course.
But
I think it's just natural.
It
expose it.
Yeah.
Out there.
Oh, it's not, you know, we're not all the same, right? We all have our own minds and our own tastes, and I get it. Pero with Hollywood, kung gusto nyong makitang mas marami pang support sa Filipino brothers and sisters natin, kailangan we have to talagang
we can
be like a community.
We can adapt the bayanihan.
Talaga. You have to. But the Filipino, like when Dali was like being nominated, yes. Like everybody's got to like rejoice that, you know. Or when Joko made his movie, everyone should have been like nonstop tweeting. Like, you know, because that's all Hollywood will look at. Yung mga hindi
exactly.
Filipino doon. Yan yung tinitingnan nila because they don't know us. They might not care to know us. Pero if they see more of us supporting, then they want to know us. They want
because,
like,
to
know
think
us.
About it, it's already a hit and miss, right? Like creating you know, a movie or any even a series, it's a hit and miss. Like, you know, like maybe you'll make it or you will not make it, right?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Ito, for example, like ito, you know, SB19, right? Because I'm an avid fan of SB19, right? Like
I saw their pictures, they're hot.
The P-pop, right? I remember before K-pop. they went viral, before they become so popular, I was a fan na. Kasi nga, I was like, you know what, this kid has potential. But I remember one time I was listening to one of their interview way, way back. Like, parang they were like, before everyone was trying to ridicule them. Like, oh, they're not going to make it, blah, blah, blah. As in everyone. It's like maybe 80% were just trying to pull them down. And then when they got this recognition with one of the, I forgot which one. It's not the Gento. There's another one. They were, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. So everyone are like screaming. Non-Filipinos are like, before, like in the end, they're not going to make it. And then ngayon nung medyo na-recognize na, wow, Pinoy proud.
Yeah.
Diba?
Pinoy pride.
Pride.
That happened bigla.
Right? Parang nakakaloka. Pero ang civil ito. Ang ano ko dito, civil. Yes, parang ang point ko dito din, civil. And question also, why do you think there's no, because we know that Filipinos are good actors, actresses, singers, right? Directors.
Good storytellers.
Brilliant. Good storyteller. Pero bakit wala? I mean, look at Parasite, right? I mean, I know we can do better, pero why do you think not even one single Filipino film did not make it to the mainstream?
I think, I think talaga, you know, ang Korean cinema, they really, from the government, it starts from the government, from the people. They really like made it a point to package these things, right? They really like, they support it fully, 100%. They're behind it. Not just the production company, but literally including the government, because they really want to push film, you know, filmmaking from Korea in Hollywood. So that helps a lot, right? I know that we have a film commission and stuff like that, and I know some people in it, and I know that they're trying. I know some of the studios from the Philippines, that I know some of the studio heads, and I know that they're trying. I still think we have a tendency, and I guess this is my point about what I'm talking about supporting other artists. There's still a tendency of like kind of having cliques or separate, like kind of like, this is our thing, like, you know, you said before there were the competition on the stations, masyadong they put too much importance on that, like, you know, competition, instead of like doing the, like, let's, why don't we work together and make this like push together, right? This is why I'm like kind of trying to reach out to your audiences, maybe that are listening, that at the minimum, at least when they see something, Olivia Rodrigo, even when, like, you know, like she's Filipino, like, let's show our support, her, Bruno Mars, like, let's just keep showing the support. And show that support, not just when they're already famous, but even when they're down, when things, actually more so when they're down, when things are not good. Like, for example, I like to use this, you know, example, like when Joe's film came out, Joko's film, for example, came out, you know, there was a time where it was having difficulty getting into, like, you know, the metrics. That was the time, like, we needed, like, the whole country or the Filipinos all over the world to be just like, let's go. We got to go check it out. And I know we were making so much efforts here in the U.S. to do it, but I'm not sure if it was happening in the other countries. But because he deserves it. The guy works so hard, first of all, and the guy's so freaking talented. Like, you know, and it was such a great, like, attempt to be, like, on the mainstream, you know, the storyline. So I think we needed to do that, and we need to do a lot of that. We need to do more of that. There's a lot of new indie films, Filipino films that are out there now. We got to show support to them because...
True.
That's the only way I think we can, and maybe by doing it through the people, maybe at some point, maybe we'll get further up to, like, to the government level. I don't know. But we need kind of that push if we want to be at that level, like you mentioned, Parasite and things like that, because they're really, like, they have, like, a big support behind them. And
especially
we need that
for our
films and stuff if we want to get to the international stage. Because a lot of the indies that I know that are making it to the international stage right now, they're on their own. They're, like, working on their own, like, working really hard, like, really pounding the pavement, like most independent filmmakers do, which is really all they can do. But, you know, when it's out there, we got to show that we're going to back them and that we love them and, you know, that there's love for them so that, you know, there'll be more support, sana, you know, hopefully, diba dito from the mainstream. So, yeah, it's kind of a tough question. But to me, I think that's the only thing we can really do.
It makes sense. You made a good point.
Yeah.
Right? Like, talagang we have to
it was an aha moment
practice
for me to, like,
the bayanihan.
Yeah. It's easy for us kasi to criticize. You
oh
know,
my God, yeah.
Tayo pa namang Pinay, ano tayo, we are a lot of experts at
everybody's an expert.
Diba, Facebook, suddenly you are a beauty pageant expert. Suddenly you are a film critic, and I'm guilty rin ako dyan, eh. So kaya yung ang pinakamaganda magawa natin kung wala nga tayong support ngayon from the government, the Philippine government, is manggaling sa atin, which is what you're saying. Kunyari,
exactly.
It's not even our cup of tea. Let's just seal it for now. Not even
flip
say
your
anything.
Mouth,
yeah.
Right? And stop, if like, the keyboard warrior.
At the minimum that you can support it, then that's it, you know?
Yeah, a cinema. Okay, so we obviously also believe in freedom of speech. So it's not a matter of, like, I don't believe we should zip people's, you know? But I think I would just be careful how you, when you don't agree with, you know, let's say you don't love the genre of the film or the show that's up there, right? Even like with Broadway now, with Here Lies Love. Obviously, there's opinions, right? Because of the subject matter. I get it. I totally get it. My mom lived through that. So I get it. You know, but this is the first Broadway show.
Exactly.
By Filipinos.
No, it's not by Filipinos. That's the problem, I think. That's why it's, you know, a conversation. Because, you know, it's written by David Byrne and Fatboy Slim.
Oh,
so it's not,
exactly.
It's not a Filipino-written project. I think that's why. And I get that concern. But still, when you go out there and you talk about it, you have to think about what you say in terms of, like, you should have your opinion. Everybody should have their opinion because we're people, like, you're smart, you need to know. But you should just understand this is the first Broadway show that has a almost pretty much all Filipino cast. Producers, Broadway producers that are Filipino, lending their name is there. Like, this is a pretty big deal for us. Even though I wish their name is more on the... You know, on the
bill, on the poster,
on the billing
yeah.
itself. I get it. That's why I'm saying I have my own hesitations on certain things, but I am more supportive than hesitant because, my God, like, look at the producing team, look at the actors that are in it. Like, these are actually Filipino artists and Filipino films, you know, that are there, and we need to push them
to
up.
Support,
we can't bring
it's
them
on
down.
Broadway for
and
God's
it's
sake.
On Broadway for crying out loud. So
it's
you know,
so
what I mean?
Hard, like, you know, to penetrate.
That's why we have so just be careful, like, you of course everyone's entitled to their opinion, kailang syempre pag nagsulat lang tayo walang tayong masyadong
be
about to bring
it
down.
About it
yeah let's
well,
like
wag daw masyado
pwede mong sabihin hindi ko siya type pero medyo masaya pa rin, you know what I mean, like kung yun yung opinion nyo para
yeah,
lang hindi
true.
So it doesn't take somebody down, it's not like harsh, you know what I mean. Kasi we don't deserve, I don't think anybody for someone deserves that or any, you know, anything doesn't deserve that kind of
stuff. At saka si Belen J, because I noticed too, majority of those comments, kasi I've been, you know, like, you know, especially like Here Lies Love, a lot of people are doing like gaslighting. They're sort of like, they're not aware that they're gaslighting. They're campaigning to everyone that, hey, you let's say you wrote your opinion, you're very opinionated, right? Uh-oh. And then a lot of people will start reading it, and then instead of like making their own opinion, they started to like agreeing about it. Oh, you know what? I think you're right. And then it's gonna be a domino effect.
It's gonna pile up.
Right? It's like, oh, seriously? I mean, instead of
without
just
even
like,
seeing it yet.
I thought you like it, and now it's like,
yes,
you know what?
Exactly,
nabasa ko dito
yes.
Eh. Yeah. Parang feel like no, tama yung nabasa ko dito. I read this, this.
Wag
nyo
naman sabihin
right.
Na wag nyo nang panoorin. Wag nyo nang end ng ganon siguro if you're gonna write anything
right?
Or
like,
say something about it.
Exactly.
You know?
My God, that's why we're so proud that Sibyl, that you're there, you know, like to push and, you know, to you're like one of the advocate, like of the Filipinos, actors and actresses, all the talented Filipinos, like Soho Film Festival. Because ever since when Sibyl and I spoke about it, I was like, wow, I'm so glad that you're there representing the Filipino.
That we have a Filipino American on that yes. stage we're in. It's
sobra,
an international
so proud.
Award-giving body and promoting not just Filipino films, could also promote Filipino but international films. Now,
exactly.
A question ko dyan is, how about example is I'm a filmmaker, then I'm an independent filmmaker and I have my own small film. Mm-hmm. Should I just, and I'm considering sana mapalabas din to sa Seoul International Film Festival. So do I just contact you and you guys will try
what
to
is,
see
what
it
is your criteria? Yes.
Yeah, my criteria ba kayo?
Well, yeah, we have a submission, just like any festival, we have a submission. We usually Film Freeway is what everybody, filmfreeway.com is what most film festivals use, like us. And I'll say that I'll tell you, I program the festival, so I really make a very conscious effort to look for a Filipino film. But with that said, I'm also proud to be Filipino and be a filmmaker that... Of course, just because you're Filipino doesn't mean that you're definitely in. Like, I have to make sure that I hold you to the same standard as I would, you know, hold myself or the other filmmakers, right?
Yes.
And I have had that situation where I feel, and it's funny because when I've been in those positions a couple of times already where I've had Filipino films that were just submitted to me that just didn't meet that
standard.
It's hard to use the word standard because
like standard is
standard,
such a like, vague word.
standard, yeah. But it just doesn't I should say it doesn't fit the program. It's the
yes.
right word.
Exactly.
Or I've also gotten films where it just wasn't ready at the point that when they sent it to us. Mm-hmm. So I have worked with filmmakers in the press who say, listen, it's not going to work at a festival this year. You know, you're a Filipino creative. I really want this to succeed. So maybe if you're open, you know, if you're open to notes, I'm, you know, fine. If not, like, it's okay. Because if it doesn't fit in our stage, it doesn't mean it doesn't fit somewhere else. So I've had films where we did not accept them. And it makes me sad that I couldn't accept them because, you know, I only have a certain number of slots that I have to fill. And it's an international festival. If it was a Filipino festival, it's very different because I have so much more. But it is an international festival, so I can maybe put one or two Filipino features. Like this year we had two features because one was competing from the Philippines in the international program and then one was competing as a U.S. A film because it actually is an American made film, the one that Casey did. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a Filipino, you know, mostly Filipino cast. But you know, I've had that difficult conversation because I want them to put their best foot forward as well, so I try to help. So I've had films where it didn't fit the program, but I helped them, you know, hopefully, like by giving advice and pushing them to the next step and going to the next level that have succeeded after, you know. So it's hard because, you know, like I said, I wish I had room for everyone. Hopefully, you know, as we expand our, because now we have our nonprofit side that's opening, you know, my goal is to expand our program through there because then this way maybe we can do like mentorships and stuff, which is what we're looking to do more of. So, and of course, I can't like, I will always want to try to help my Filipino American, like, you know, creatives and you know, AAPI, you know, creatives in general, because I'm really trying to advocate for, you know, Asian Americans and Asian American Pacific Islanders. So that's my big goal and big push. And, you know, we just got to keep like getting down, pounding
and
that
pushing
pavement.
And pushing, yeah.
Yeah, and help support each other. Don't tear each other down. Just support. Like, for example, just because someone's not at the festival doesn't mean we're not going to keep pushing them. We'll push them.
I'm curious because I know this famous director and a known director made a feature film, pero used his phone only, his phone camera. Are you guys allowing that too? Like, for example, if somebody did that or if somebody was doing that?
We had a film this year that was actually shot on a phone.
iPhone?
On a phone.
I believe he used the iPhone, yeah. But with professional lenses, professional everything, like everything was shot. You didn't even know that it was shot on film.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a professional.
So pwede pala yun, ha, guys.
Yeah. So it's really about content.
Artihan nyo lang, guys. Basta artihan nyo lang.
Artihan nyo lang, yun.
Hindi pwede yung mga TikTok nyo lang tapos pinagsama-sama nyo lang. Huwag nyo isasabik si Bill yun, ha?
Si Bill, ito. Meron akong two questions before. I know, si JV sabi, uy, 1.5 hours na, kakat na tayo ng TFC.
No, ang haba ng tulog niya, tumigil siya, ha?
Kasi usually, 1 hour lang ang TFC, eh. So they're gonna cut, like, some of this conversation.
We have to be professional.
So maybe, baka ito hindi ikat ng TFC. So ito, my first question to the last, all right? First is, for example, like a person that, kasi ito, I'm sure a lot of people, because a lot of people ask me, like, oh, Jesse, ah, meron pala kayong mga, you know, connections sa the film industry, right? Kahit nga TV commercials and everything. So, anong gagawin ng anak ko? Gusto niya mag-start ng, you know, makapasok sa isang TV commercial or isang indie film. So what is the first thing, let's say for example si J-Cass, what is the first thing they need to do?
Si J-Cass.
Si J-Cass. Diba gusto niyan? Pangarap niyan?
Diba child star yung question mo?
Pangarap niyan. Tapos ako pangarap
example
niyan
mo.
Pangarap
okay lang. Para naman ako nakagib ngayon, so, eh. Diba?
Exactly. So anong, so anong gagawin ng mga, you know, ng mga, especially like the kids or whoever, like, what is the first thing that they need to do?
Well, oh my God, that's a, okay. So first of all, if kids, you know, just be careful, like, make sure that your kid actually wants to be an actor and not the parents who want their kids to be actors.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of that, okay? Because I'm casting kids right now in a movie and there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the parents that I think wanted to be their kids to be actors.
The parents' dream.
You can't deny it. They're crying all day.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And the kid's like, okay, you have to. So, you have to, okay, training, number one. So that's why it's always good to put them, you know, I'm a firm believer as an actor, theater is still the best place to start. Get them in a children's theater. Get them in a theater program where they can, like, really hone their skills. Because in theater, you get so much discipline. You learn discipline in general working as an actor that once you go on set, film, and TV, it's like nothing, because that's, like, a shorter version of what you do when you have to do something in theater. Because it's a live show versus like, oh, let's get snippets of this, snippets of that. So it's really, I think training is really important. But with kids, if you're talking about kids, please be sure that your kids actually really want to do. That's my number one and probably only rule I would give out there, because there's a lot of children out there that really, you can tell that they don't want to do this and they're being pushed into it. And that's not okay. And it comes through and, you know, you're just going to like have a miserable time fighting with your kid for no reason, because it's not going to go there anyway, eventually, you know, but when your kid is meant to do this or really wants to do this, you'll know. I was a child actor. Like, I
and,
always.
And you know, yes. Do they need to have like an agent right away? Do they need to have an agent or?
It's always helpful okay. Because an agent also protects them. That's a thing with kids. It's always good to have someone or a manager. Even a manager, because a manager can make sure that the protection is the interest the of the child.
Hindi talaga pwede ang ano, mom-ager.
Dapat talagang professional.
Well, unless you have a mom that's actually a, you know,
well-connected?
Yeah, a real business.
A good manager talaga. Yeah. And a professional one.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
So, it's so, oh, yeah.
there's no yeah. use, no? Pag yung tipong yeah. pinipilit mo lang, no? Parang, you have to act. Otherwise, I'm not gonna give you allowance for...
Your mosquito. Let's send you to the Philippines and let's make a commercial. Like, you know.
Mga ganon, no? Okay. Yeah. But second question ko naman, before we end, to si Jekas na my next question. So what's the plan? Like, how do you foresee Soho Film Festival in like the next 5-10 years?
I mean, we hope to be like the go-to in New York. That's really our goal for independent filmmaking. It's what we've been going for. It's what we've been doing. It's been a community, and we just hope to build it, you know, as big a community as we can for the filmmakers, and hopefully that will also encourage more filmmaking in New York and really tell, you know, good authentic stories. So.
Oh, sana no. Nako. We're crossing our fingers, but at the same time, we're claiming it for you, girl. We
Thank
know.
You.
Like, yeah, it's going to be
We're
up
manifesting
there.
That.
Yes. Manifesting. Yeah. Ayan. So, ikaw naman, Jekas, anong, tatanungin mo ba yung ano mo, famous pang Miss
yeah,
You?
Yeah, so kasi, si Bill
Question.
Is wearing a lot of hats and yes. has gone through a lot of experiences in her personal and, of course, in her professional yes. life. Kitang-kita mo naman, di ba? Advocate siya
yes.
ng arts at ng Filipino-Americans creatives dito sa States, di ba? So, gagawin kita ang beauty pageant ngayon dahil dyan si Bill. Di ba? Ang ganda ng segue ko. so, si Bill, if you were given a chance to travel back in time and then mm-hmm. talk to your younger self, younger si Bill, what are
oh
you going
God.
To tell her?
What am I going to tell her? Oh my God, there's so much I need to tell her.
Dinam talaga lahat. Girl, girl.
Oh my God. Girl, let me tell you something. Okay. No, you know what? Actually, it's simple. Find your tribe and know your tribe.
Ooh,
I like
that.
We've never heard
that
before.
What is it? Wow. Find your tribe and know
your
tribe.
And find your tribe.
So find them and know them. Yeah. Because
ako, alam ko
yeah.
sa akin aboriginal yung sa akin, so hanapin ko sila. Ang tanga eh, no. Yun na pakaintindi ko sa tribe. No.
I know,
no
right?
Your, ang English. Know your people, know your friends, know your people who love you and you love and be with them, diba?
Yeah. Kasi honestly, you cannot live your day every day, you know, worrying about who's gonna hurt you and how you're gonna get hurt, and you know, and be, you gotta just live your life. True. You know, life is too short. If you know who you trust and who really has your best interest at heart, if you know them, then you're free to just be open. Because when you're open, you know, good things happen. I mean, even with the bad things that do happen, it's easier to let it go. Kasi mas open ka to the positive things that come to you. So when you know those that you actually can trust around you, then you feel free because you know someone's always there looking after you.
Tama na. Ganda. Tama na mga backstabbers. Tanggalin
Correct.
Sa inner circle po yan. Word of the
yes.
day namin yan. Inner circle.
Oh, mga inner circle. That's why I'm so glad that, you know, kami ni Sibyl, our path have crossed again after so many years. No? Kasi we're meant to be friends, girl.
Ay, naku. Sibyl, pag nakita na tayo, part na ako ng inner circle mo. Wala ka na magagawa.
I'm thinking four na siya.
Four, ano na tayo? Kasi na, Tres Marias lang kami ngayon. Tres Marias plus Jekas.
Pag-isipan natin yan kung paano ako, di ba?
Naging Jekas and friends.
The Tres Marias and the Creature. We'll find a better name, di ba?
Oo. My God. Sibyl, yeah. Before we let you go, I know it's a 1.5 hours. Pasensya na po, TFC. Yeah. Do you have any last message to everyone? And of course, please feel free to promote anything. Yung mga upcoming shows mo or upcoming new adventures.
Production
or adventures, yes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, for me lang talaga, you know, besides the festival, I have a couple of series that I'm working on. I have a film that's out now that I produced called Follow Her. Pero I think more than anything, pakiabangan lang. You know, like keep an eye on the projects that go out. You know, my company, Sitting Cat Productions. Pero also, ano, honestly, mas gusto ko, like, just to know na you're out there supporting all the other Filipino film, you know, creators. Kasi we really need each other right now. I think this is our time. It's our time to be known, to be noticed. We've been here, like even for us Phil M's who are here, that for some reason still don't get seen, we're here. So we want to make sure that the people that we're around know that we're here. So with your help out there to just kind of help promote each other and support each other, I think talagang we end up helping like sort of a greater good because it's about all of us representation, being represented in the world. Because we're here and, you know, we're here to stay. We're not going anywhere. We've been here. We've been here before the pilgrims. You know, I was born and raised here and I didn't even know that till I was an adult that Filipinos were in the U.S. even before the pilgrims.
Oh,
so like things
what?
Like that. You didn't know that? Oh, see, Jacob,
no!
You learned something.
Ang dami kong alam. Wow.
We were here in the 1500s. So see those little tidbits of information, guys, yung mga nanonood dyan, i-look up nyo yun. Kasi I think even sa Philippines, pag alam nyo na ganyan yung history natin sa ibang bansa, I think it really, it creates more pride. So we know na talagang nandito tayo matagal na. We're like, we have a long history. We have like, you know, we have strength to stand and still be here and represent ourselves and have an independent country, considering how small a country is. Like, it's really things to be thankful for and that we should all be very proud of. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Nauna pala tayo dito.
Oo. Dami pa natin natutunan, ha?
Ano, 1500, nagkakaraoke na pala tayo dito sa States. Nauna tayo, oh, iba.
kumakuratsa na pala tayo dito. Grabe, alam mo si Bill, we're friends, pero ang dami kong natutunan. I've learned a lot. From
ako
you
din
and
from listening to you guys.
I know.
I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Like,
I know, mga trivias, but, no? Grabe. Imagine mo pag, my God, kami, kasi pag nagdi-dinner kami si Bill, oh, sige, 1.5 hours. Ang biglang, shit, we have to work tomorrow.
I know.
Biglang, 5 hours na pala.
Si Bill, magsisisi ka. Pag nakita mo na ako, kasama ako sa dinner, puro mga kalokohan yung mga
green jokes.
3 hours, we're knowing 10 hours na.
My God, that's why we need to, sayang di ka nakasama dong grape stomping, no? Kasi we had like a long, long time. We need to have like a long weekend. Like before ka magbakasyon, I know like next year you have a lot of like vacations. No? I mean, hindi pala, mga business trips. So before that, yes, before that, basta Rachel, you and I, and of course, JCAS, Carlos, the two Carlos, oh, diba? And si Direk, we will have like a, you know, a long weekend, like a Friday to Sunday.
Yeah, let's find another fruit to stomp on.
Yes.
Like, ano naman, durian. Ayan kasi Phil Am tayo. Phil
Am advocate.
No? I was gonna say durian too. That's so weird.
Or langka.
Oh my God. Mabaho na, masakit pa sa paa. Tinami mong
ano
idea ko, di ba walang kwenta? Diba?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Bastos ka talaga, Jay, kasi akala ko ano, mabaho na yan. So anyways, maraming salamat si Bill. Salamat. Grabe. Guys, I hope marami kayong natutunan ngayong War Night. Ang dami naming natutunan kay si Bill. Ah. Saka yung mga, ayan ha, yung mga gustong mag-artista po, ayan o, ang dami ng natutunan namin kay si Bill.
Ayan, ang mga luck, tips and criteria po.
Yes. At saka nandito kami si Bill, ah, like supporting you all the way.
Yes.
Kahit ano yan, 24/7.
And I watch you guys, I support you guys. Mm. Yeah. And yung mga nanonood ngayon, spread the word para manood din sila. Para they can keep supporting Jesse and JCAS. You have to see this show para spreading word.
Nako, maraming salamat si Bill.
Salamat.
Ang ganda ni si Bill, oh, grabe.
Oo nga.
Oh my God.
Tangkad pa niyang girl. Girl, JCAS, pag nakita mo si Bill, gagano ka talaga, ha? Hindi, ako lang pala kasi matangkad ka rin.
Una, sabi ano kasi? Ito, ano na lang yun, lights na lang lahat.
Oh, una, ano kasi ko eh, kaya si Bill gumagano na ako lang.
I'll make sure na pag nakita tayo dun sa 31st, dalawang beses ako maliligo para maka-leveling naman ako, di ba?
Yes.
Magkukuskus talaga ako.
Oh my
kaya,
God.
Ayan. Kaya ladies and gentlemen, mga ka-oga, salamat po. Yes. Thank you very much for watching and enjoying this episode. Don't forget to share this amongst your friends and family. And also, thank you sa ating mga subscribers ng TFC, the Filipino channel, for watching. And also, mga streamers natin sa I Want TFC. Huwag natin kalimutan ang ating mga kumunizens sa ABS-CBN's FYE channel in Kumu. And also, ang ating mga pasahero, driver at konduktor ng sa buong Pilipinas sa Jeepney TV. Ayan, ang aming idol. Oh my God. Si Bill Santiago, thank you very much for giving us your time, for letting us get to know you better and giving us a little glimpse of the film industry as well. Ayan. Yes. Mag-last toast tayo, guys.
Yes.
Ayan. Mga kaugat, amidst the challenges of life, let's still find ways to be happy. Let's all talk about it over a glass or two.